Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it is interesting as one who preaches that we preach from a lectionary. This is this three-year cycle of readings that we have. So that I do not choose the readings most generally. The readings are chosen for us, and we are on the same cycle all the time. And you know, there's two things that end up happening. The first thing that ends up happening quite a bit is there's sometimes I'm left with a series of readings that I look at and say, what? What am I going to say about this week? But then there are other Sundays in which the lessons are so familiar and we know them so well that it's kind of like looking at them and saying, what am I going to say about this one again? Welcome to that second set of Sundays. Psalm 23. If there's one piece beyond John 3:16 that I expect most in the church actually know something, I expect them to know Psalm 23. And in case you didn't know Psalm 23, we end up making sure that on this Sunday, the fourth Sunday after Easter, we have it every single time, followed by a passage from John 10 in which we talk about Jesus being the Good Shepherd. But it's not just the fourth Sunday after Easter. It will happen other times in the church year. If this sounds familiar to you, don't worry, it is, because we just had Psalm 23 last October. In fact, as I looked over the series of readings, what I would tell you is that in this three-year cycle, we hear Psalm 23 at least six different times. And not only that, but we also know how special Psalm 23 is for us, so that we make sure, oftentimes, within a funeral service, that it's one that we repeat. We will hear that again. We will say it together this coming Wednesday when we have Virginia's service. So I'm faced with one of these Sundays on saying, what do I say about the Good Shepherd that hasn't already been said? Now let me tell you what one temptation is. One temptation, and I kind of fell into it earlier in the week, is to be able to look on saying, well, you know, the shepherd image isn't one that we necessarily connect with as much necessarily, so I'll look for another image for you. And I put in a Google search, you know, put in a Google search on saying alternate versions of Psalm 23. I have 4 pages worth of alternate versions of Psalm 23. The Lord is my choir master. I shall not be out of step with the music. The Lord is my pace setter. I shall not rush. The Lord is my drover. I travel well. That's Australian, by the way. The Lord is my compass and courier. I shall never be lost or abandoned. The Lord is my architect. I shall not be misproportioned. We need Bob Ard here for that one. The Lord is my trail guide. I shall not lose my way. The Lord is my programmer. I shall not crash. And the politically correct jargon version that says, the Lord and I are in a shepherd-sheep relationship, and I am in a position of negative need. But I looked at all of that, and I reflected on that, and even to ask the question about what are some images that we can come to that might appeal to us. But I thought about the fact that when we read this psalm, there's something about the image that's there that I keep coming back to. And though no alternate version that I could look at and no alternate image that I could look at spoke as much as thinking about this image of the Lord as my shepherd. And I think part of it is because it's not just what it says about God. It's what it says about us. Because you see, if the Lord is our shepherd, that implies something. It implies that we're sheep. By the way, you've heard me say this before. Sheep are really dumb animals. I remember my 4-H experience. They're really dumb animals. But there's something about that identifying with sheep. It says that sheep are these helpless creatures. They need all the guidance they can get. And there's something about reading, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want, that says, I get it wrong more often than I get it right. I go astray way too much. I don't get it right. Thank God. Oh God, you are my shepherd. You are the one that guides me. And as I thought about the images that are within this psalm, I thought about the fact that these are images that we can just reflect on, meditate on. To say just these opening lines, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Another version says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." To reflect on that when so often I know how much we are trying to say about what we need. To say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." There's times I pray that. Even over this past week, there's times that I pray that. And I might say, "But wait, God, I still need, I still want, I still need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. But God, have you taken a look at what's going on lately? Have you seen what desperate straits we're in? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. But God, how are we going to make it? How are we going to make it to the next paycheck? How are we going to make it through this time? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters." I hear those words and I can picture those pastures. I can picture those waters. And there's a way that when I hear that, I find my own heart at rest. And more than to say the next line, "You restore my soul," there's one translation that says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters in order to restore my soul." And I know how often we need to hear that. Where we feel the chaos going on in our lives. We feel the disturbances going on all around us. And we need to hear that God guides us to green pastures and still waters, to restore, to make right our souls, to lead us along right pathways, to lead us along paths of justice, just for the sake of who God is. Because then when we hear the next line that says that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though we know that death is beside us all the time, and we feel that death and we feel that grief around us all the time, we have the promise, it says, doesn't it, that you are with me. That your rod and your staff, they comfort me, they protect me. They lead me along the darkest valleys and says, "God, you are there." And there's the longest time that I got disturbed by the next image. You know, the one that says, you prepare a table in front of me, in front of my enemies. But then I remember hearing at one time that says, perhaps what we're meant to hear is that when it seems that the world itself is against us, when it seems that we're surrounded by our enemies, God keeps us well fed. God anoints our head with oil and reminds us that even though we have all around us that seems to be going wrong, God is right there making it right. God is right there feeding us. God is right there taking care of us. Our cup overflows because God has given us so much. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Or as the message says, shall chase after me, shall pursue me. God's love and God's mercy is going to go after us every single day of our lives. And we dwell in the house of God, which are not these four walls, but wherever God might be found throughout our world, we dwell in God's house forever. I lead you through this to be able to tell you that maybe we have Psalm 23 six or seven times in 3 years. Maybe we have Psalm 23 every fourth Sunday after Easter because we need Psalm 23. I need Psalm 23. need to be reminded that God is walking right along beside me, even when death seems so close. And when death does draw near, I'm reminded once again that God is with me even there, beyond death's door, to the time where I will know God's presence forever. And of all the things that I saw on the internet this past week, perhaps the one that struck me most was the one that captured this image of God as shepherd and we as sheep, that read as this: I believe I need a shepherd, because I am sometimes timid and other times overconfident. Because I often don't know the best path, yet pretend I do. Because I rush into dead ends or lead others into hazardous places. Because my brightest ideas are seamed with darkness. Because the things I crave may not be what is good for me. I need a shepherd. I believe in Jesus, the best possible shepherd. His wisdom leads me to the best opportunities. His word comforts me when I'm anxious or afraid. His arm steadies me when I feel weary and heavy laden. His wounded body displays the cost of my rescue. I believe in Jesus, the best possible shepherd. I believe that I do not find him, but he finds me, and I, under his care, by virtue of sheer grace, the love he gives me is to be shared with others, that he treasures my name and prepares a place for me, and his fold transfixes earth and heaven. I trust Jesus, the Good Shepherd.